Good morning. Today's first scripture reading, if you'd like to follow along, is on page 196 of the New Testament in the hymnals or the Bibles in, on the pews. A little background. This is the first of two letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, one of his students, who he had left in Ephesus as the leader of that church. So this, the words of Paul to Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who deserves everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
For our second reading, we will continue this week to go section by section through the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Today's reading is Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. So I'd ask you, if you'd like to follow along, to turn to your pew Bible to page 74. So here are these descriptions of Jesus' ministry. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with a dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This parable from Luke that I just read is fascinating, and clearly it could be the foundation for several sermons, but it is not the root of my sermon today. It's curious to me that this parable of Jesus is included with the Timothy passage in today's lectionary selection that Ken read, but I guess it's because we're reading through the Gospel of Luke this year and they needed to include it. In any event, I want this morning to draw your attention to this part of the letter of Paul to Timothy. As Ken mentioned, Paul was ostensibly writing to an individual, Timothy. But Paul was also, and perhaps more importantly, speaking through Timothy to the worshiping community of which he was a part. The world that Paul and Timothy inhabited was vastly different from the world of the 21st century, but there are some important similarities between that faith community and ours. The important point of this part of his letter is the reminder that people should pray. They should pray on a regular basis through Jesus to God. Paul is asking his community to pray for everyone and for their leaders. Those were his words. You know, as I read this passage and I think about human nature, I envision that Paul was asking this congregation to pray for those people of that community. Given the structure of house churches in the first century, it's likely that we're talking about less than 100 people. Those were the people of Timothy's church. And when Paul asks the people then to pray for kings and all those who are in high positions, he's talking about the political and practical realities of his time. This community lived under the protection and the persecution of the Roman Empire. So, in asking for prayer for their own faith community, as well as for the highest government officials, for everyone, in the words of Paul, he is asking that the people pray for all the people in their known world. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Paul's world was quite different from the world of today. And yet, there are some important parallels as well. The people of Paul's congregation represented a spectrum of people from the middle and lower classes, people from the lower echelons of society. And they lived around and among people who were poor, hungry, homeless, hopeless, and destitute. That is not so much different from today. But it is certainly a question of magnitude. Allow me to share with you some facts about our world in 2007. The wealthiest fifth, the wealthiest 20% of the world's people, including all of us in the United States, consumes 86% of all goods and services. That's the top 20%, while the lowest 20% consumes 1% of the world's goods and services. Nearly 2.5 billion people of the total world population of 6.3 billion people, almost a third of those folks, lack access to basic sanitation. 1 billion people lack access to safe drinking water. Contaminated water that they drink kills 2.2 million people every year. If you were to take a snapshot of 100 children born in 2000, the year 2000, 100 kids, 30 of those will most likely suffer from malnutrition in the first 5 years of life. 26 of those 100 will not be immunized against the basic childhood diseases. 19 of those kids will lack access to safe drinking water, and 40 will not have access to adequate sanitation. 17 of those kids will never go to school. In the last 50 years, almost 400 million people worldwide have died from hunger and poor sanitation. That's three times the number of people killed in all the wars fought in the 20th century. Tonight, as you lie in your warm bed with a belly full of food, I want you to think about this. Tonight, there will be 840 million people who will go to sleep hungry. 840 million people for whom hunger is their way of life. Now, if you're like me, these numbers boggle the imagination. I cannot even conceive of that many people. But that is the reality of today. That is the reality of our world. When Paul spoke to his faith community, he was asking them to pray for all the people of their world. And that, I believe, is what God is asking of us today, in this place, right here, right now, that we should pray for everyone in our world. That ought to be our prayer perspective. But our prayer focus is usually much smaller. We usually pray for those people we know every Sunday, those people in our world. But I have to ask you this. What would be our reaction if we knew of someone in this room who didn't have running water? Somebody right here now whose children weren't in school. Someone who will go to bed hungry here, hungry tonight. We would certainly pray for these folks, wouldn't we? And we would go to their assistance in a heartbeat. We would do whatever it would take to make their life better, wouldn't we? We care about those people. We care about us, people of our faith community. Well, in Jesus' eyes, every human being on this planet is a member of our faith community. Paul attests to this fact quite plainly. He says, "This is right and it is acceptable to the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For this is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all." Jesus prayed for all people while he was on this earth, and Jesus prays for all people for all time. But Jesus didn't just pray for people. He did everything in his power to make their lives better. Think about every story you've read in the Bible, every story you've ever heard about Jesus interacting with people. Every time, he always did whatever he could to make life better, to bring people to salvation. And in most instances, Jesus did what he could to alleviate their physical hunger, too. My brothers and sisters, we are children of God and followers of Jesus Christ. God loves each and every one of us with a love that is absolute and unconditional. God has blessed us with prosperity and riches in more abundance than we can even imagine, especially compared with the vast majority of the people on this earth. Jesus is asking each of us to work to understand what is happening in our world. Jesus is asking each of us to pray for our brothers and sisters in every corner of this planet. But Jesus is also calling us into action. We are missionary people, people sent out by God into the world to make disciples of Jesus Christ and to share the love of God in real and tangible ways. And one of the real actions that we can take to help bring about God's kingdom is to work tirelessly to end world hunger. Prayer is the first step, but action is the key. This Sunday, coming Sunday, October 14th, we will join members of at least 10 other faith communities in the Aurora Crop Walk. Under the auspices of Church World Service, Crop Walk are communities reaching out to people. People of various faith communities doing what they can together to help alleviate hunger in our world. Money raised by the Crop Hunger Walks nationwide is used by Church World Service to provide food, medical care, disaster relief, and self-help development for needy people throughout the world. 25% of the money that we raise will stay right here in Aurora to be used by the Aurora Interfaith Task Force, the Somali Bantu Farming Council of Colorado, and the Delaney Community Farm. And over the next few weeks, at every opportunity I can find, I'll be sharing with you a DVD presentation about crop walks all over the country and how this collective effort truly changes people's lives. God wants hungry people to be fed because every person in this world is a member of our faith community. And every single person who is a friend and a member of Burns Church, every single individual can join us in this crusade to help end world hunger. Every one of us can pray for the people of the world. Many of us can walk the crop walk on October 14th with our brothers and sisters from all over Aurora. And every one of us can support a walker by offering a donation of money. From a few pennies to several hundred dollars, every person can open their heart and their wallet to make a donation. Each one of us can do our part to help end world hunger. Together, we can make a difference. With Jesus walking with us every step of the way, how can we possibly go wrong? Amen.